Well, we've just sung this wonderful song, Give Me the Bible. It's a song that I've known from my youth, and I think it's a song that most are familiar with. And tonight, we would like to think about some of the thoughts that we find within this particular song, Give Me the Bible. If you'll turn to Psalm 119 and verses 9 through 16, Psalm 119 and verses 9 through 16, we'll read that together as our scripture reading this evening. Psalm 119 and verses 9 through 16. Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. And in these few verses, we learn that God does great things for us. And the Bible is God's Word. And we should want to learn more from the Bible. Let's read what Psalm 119 verses 9 through 16 says. Psalm 119 starting in verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Well, the word of God, as we mentioned, is magnified in this particular psalm. And we can read through the whole psalm and really understand more about God's word. And we may do some studies in the future in Psalm 119. But as we think about, give me the Bible, I believe that these thoughts are appropriate. Notice some of these highlights. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Verse 9. Verse 10, your word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Notice then verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And so God's words are things that we need to internalize. And God's word is found in the Bible. Do we want the Bible? Do we want to study it? Do we want to understand it? Do we want to know more about it? Here are some reasons tonight why I want the Bible. Some reasons, if you will, to give me the Bible. The Bible is such a great book, and really everyone should know it. It speaks concerning man, concerning God, salvation, and eternity. I hope that after we study tonight, each one will desire to study the Bible more for answers to life's questions, and that we will see the Bible has a lot to offer. Give me the Bible. Why? First of all, because the Bible offers rest to the weary. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, Jeremiah writing in the midst of a nation that has completely abandoned God. They've gone away from Him. They are soon to be taken into captivity because of their idolatry and their lawlessness and their wickedness. But nevertheless, Jeremiah writes these words, Thus saith the Lord, Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And what is the consequence of asking for those old paths? What is the consequence of walking in those good ways? Notice, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Rest. Rest for the weary is offered within the Bible. Sadly enough, though, the people in Jeremiah's day had this to say in reply to Jeremiah's exhortation. They said, We will not walk therein. And the only people they were really hurting were themselves, because ultimately walking within the Word of God is for our benefit and for our good. Yes, we want the Bible because the Bible offers rest to the weary. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 in verses 27 through 30. He says, All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, Jesus is setting up some information for us here so we will understand something a little bit later on. Notice what he says. He says, the Father has given all things into my hands, and I am able then to deliver them to you. Because the Son knows the Father, and the Father knows the Son, and you can know the Father as well. How do we do that? How do we find this relationship with God? Notice what Jesus says in verse 28 and following. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Bible offers rest to the weary. And Jesus has that rest. And it's available to every single person if we will simply trust in Him and His Word and do what He wants us to do within our lives. It's not because He wants to control us. It's not because Jesus is some kind of a tyrant or something like that. No, it's for our own good. It's so that we can have peace and life and comfort and safety, spiritually speaking, in this world and then, of course, in that which is to come. Give me the Bible because the Bible offers rest to the weary. Secondly, give me the Bible because the Bible warns man away from the destructive lifestyle of sin. In contrast to that rest and that peace that we find in Christ, sin takes away our rest. Sin takes away our peace. Sin takes away our joy. Well, the Bible tells us how deceitful sin is. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yes, our own hearts will deceive us if we don't pay attention very closely to what the Bible has to say. In Isaiah 59 in verses 1 and 2, there Isaiah writes that the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God that He will not hear. And so sin separates man from God, and the Bible warns about sin and its destructive lifestyle. It warns us about the heart, which can deceive us. It warns us that sin separates us from God and causes us not to be able to be an object of salvation. Not because God is unable to save, not because God is unable to hear, not because God is unable to do something, but because we have placed ourselves as a barrier between God and His ability to help. Yes, there are some things in which God is limited. And one of those things is the free will of man. God is not going to be like Satan, who barges on in and takes control of your life without you asking. No, God is only going to work in conjunction with our free will as we give Him permission to work within our lives and as we allow Him to take control. And so we do not want sin to separate us from God. That's why we need the Bible. Give me the Bible, because it warns about man's destructive lifestyle of sin. Listen to what John says in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Give me the Bible. Why? Because the Bible offers rest to the weary. Why? Because the Bible warns concerning sin and its destructive lifestyle. Third, give me the Bible because the Bible teaches about Jesus and His message of salvation. It is, in fact, the greatest story ever told. And all of the great stories that you will hear since the time of Jesus, all of those great stories that appeal to your heart, that ring true with your conscience, all of those great stories will somehow reflect the life of Jesus in some way. Think about the movies that we go to see in the world today. We think about that hero or that heroine conquering their enemies against great odds, performing acts of self-sacrifice, getting out there and really doing a lot of work in order to save others. Well, where does that story come from? It comes right here from the Bible. And when we think about those great stories that people tell today, we understand that they are great because of the story that is told within the Bible about Jesus. It is the greatest story ever told, and it is the true story of God coming to the earth, taking the form of man, living a sacrificial life, and then giving himself on the cross for the sins of all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3, verses 16 and 17. Jesus himself said that when he came to give himself and to give his life a ransom for many. For the Son of Man also came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. And then consider Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, where Jesus defines his own purpose. He says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Yes, Jesus came into this world to save sinners, Paul said, of which I am chief. And the opportunity for all men to be saved through Jesus Christ is found right here in this book. And so, give me the Bible, because the Bible teaches about Jesus and his message of salvation. And he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Give me the Bible so that I can learn about Jesus and salvation. And then finally, give me the Bible, because the Bible provides guidance in the face of death. And I think that's one thing that many of us struggle with, you know. What do we do with the problem of death when our loved ones are separated from us because of death? And that's something that we all have things that we want to deal with in that regard. Well, the Bible tells us about death and what to expect after we die. And God warns us about living our lives in a good way so that when death does come, we'll be prepared for it. And the Bible gives us great information in regard to this topic. Give me the Bible, because the Bible provides guidance in the face of death. In John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 3, a verse that is quoted oftentimes at funerals and other occasions of sobriety, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The Bible tells us about God's great desire to be with us. And we know from this passage that the apostles desired to be with Jesus, and Jesus desired to be with them. But he wanted to go so that he could prepare a better place for us to be than this old sinful world. And so he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now the Bible tells us also that man is going to die if Jesus doesn't come back and return first. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 7, we read that it is appointed once for men to die, and then after this, the judgment. And so the Bible tells us there's also going to be a great judgment. In Acts chapter 17 and verses 30 and 31, the Bible tells us who is going to be the judge. Listen to what Paul says there. He says, "And the times of ignorance God once winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. inasmuch as he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." And that, of course, is talking about Jesus. Jesus is the one who is going to judge. And I'm so thankful that Jesus is going to judge, because Jesus is that one who brings salvation. Jesus is that one who provides mercy. Jesus is that one who says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But Jesus is going to use a standard to judge all men as well. And that standard is his word. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus says this: "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. The words that I speak, the same will judge him in the last day." And so Jesus is going to be the judge, and his words are going to be the standard for judgment. Well, if we will only turn to him and obey his word, then when judgment comes, we won't have anything to worry about, because Jesus will be our brother. And we will be in the family of God, and God will take care of his family. Yes, through Christ, we can overcome even death. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 55 through 57. Give me the Bible, because the Bible provides guidance in the face of death. Why should we want the Bible? Because the Bible offers rest to the weary. Why should we want the Bible? Because the Bible warns man away from the destructive lifestyle of sin. Why should we want the Bible? Because the Bible teaches about Jesus and his message of salvation. And why should we want the Bible? Because the Bible provides guidance in the face of death. What a wonderful message the Bible has for us if we will simply heed it and pay attention to it and practice it within our lives. Give me the Bible, because the Bible provides for man's salvation. The Bible teaches us that plan of man's salvation, that we are to hear the word. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We also read in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that without faith it's impossible to be pleasing unto him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I need to hear. I need to believe. I need to repent of my sins. Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, "Repent," to those who were there and who asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We need to confess that Jesus is the Christ, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. And we need to be baptized to wash away our sins. There in Acts chapter 22, when Ananias comes to Paul, or Saul, as he was called at that point, he said to Saul, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Yes, we need to be baptized to wash away our sins, according to the Bible. We need to be baptized to be saved, according to the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 tells us, there we read that baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, that is, not taking a bath, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Because when we read the Word of God and understand that this is God's teaching, our conscience will convict us, and it will say, "I need to be baptized to obey God, and so that I can have my sins forgiven." It is the answer of a good conscience toward God. Do you need to be saved tonight to follow this simple plan that the Bible gives? Give me the Bible so that I can be saved. Why not respond to the Bible's message this evening, to God's word this very night, and do what He wants you to do, while together we stand and sing this song of encouragement?